Nyawishkenagagwego. I'm thankful you're well. You're listening to Gyno. If you're tuning in for the first time today, Gyno is a Seneca word for music or song. I'm your host, Brett Mabee, and each week we take a listen to some incredible music from different indigenous artists from all across Turtle Island. So for this next hour, as always, here's your cordial invitation to enjoy the music in the chat. I met today's featured artist when I spent a little bit of time on Albuquerque, New Mexico with the Native America Calling Crew. As you might recall, we hosted a number of musicians live in the studio for the first time, including Iwa. Iwa is a two-spirit recording artist. They're Peeposh and Kachan and an enrolled member of the Gila River Indian community. A recording artist and poet residing in Flagstaff, Arizona. In February of 2021, they released their debut EP, Dysphoria, an account of their journey with gender identity, religious trauma, and breaking toxic cycles to find life abundant. We're going to be listening to a little bit of this EP, but in the meantime, I have a brand new single called Tangerine Lamborghini coming your way. Turn it up and sing along. You're listening to Gyno.
I might have a God complex, but this theology is robust. Baby girl, foreclosed the deal like Sears Roebuck. Allergic to legumes, she lose her breath because I go nuts. Got behind the wheel because we broke up, hurts donut. Maybe I was inconsiderate, I hadn't yet considered it. Come to mention it, the moments where I could've noticed it was time to finish it were so abundant, maybe I just didn't pay attention. Like, when she said joke, I said louder, and it always pleased the crowds of friends I wouldn't have without her. She probably hate my guts now, that's like 30 feet of distrust. That's why we lost touch now, feels like I dropped the winning touchdown. So I get to daydreaming, I push the pedal down just like my feelings. I daydream about a tangerine Lamborghini. Windows tinted, can't nobody see me. I daydream about a tangerine Lamborghini. Tangerine Lamborghini. I forget the thing you said. That time we talked astrology, something about ascendant signs, embracing my autonomy. I couldn't get my mind around it then, I think I do now. And all that I can ask myself is what I'm gonna do now. Think you're better off without me, used to ask you not to doubt. Seems that you were right about me, always done it for the clout. Posting on my SoundCloud, pretty sure that's how you found me. When I was underground, my songs were hard to market, bars were sounding lousy, now I caught a wave. Music played in provinces and city states. 2023, the tour gonna take me to these 50 states. And after every show, I wish that we could get a Denny's plate. I reach into my heart and find these car keys in its place. I reach into my heart and find these car keys in its place. I daydream about a tangerine Lamborghini. Windows tinted, can't nobody see me. Daydream about a tangerine Lamborghini. Tangerine Lamborghini.
The song gracing your ears and kicking off our listening this morning is Tangerine Lamborghini, a smooth, smooth track from today's featured artist, Iwa. Welcome back. You're listening to Gyno. I'm your host, Brett Mabee, and I'm excited for a follow-up conversation with today's featured artist. Welcome to Gyno today, Iwa. Nyawishkenagagwego. How are you doing today?
Hello, all the wonderful listeners out there. I'm doing really well, Brett, and it's, like you said, just so wonderful to be back with you, having a conversation, getting to, sit down and have a chat today.
Well, it was great meeting in person. It was great being able to spend a little bit of time out there with network friends. You know, one thing, though, that is unfortunate with that kind of format, right, obviously, is we had to split the time up between, what did we have in the studio that day, like four artists or something like that?
Yeah, four of them.
It was fun. Don't get me wrong. I'm not knocking on it. But the limitation, obviously, is the amount of time that we get to dedicate, right? So today is all about you, my friend. And I'm excited to get to know you, to help my listeners get to know you and your incredible art. And I think we have a really important conversation to be having today. So if it's okay with you, let's get started with some introductions. Please do me the honor and let listeners out there know a little bit about yourself.
Absolutely. Kamadot Kmuvak to all listeners out there. My name is Iwa, and I'm a songwriter, performer, and recording artist. I'm representing District 7 of Gila River Indian Community. I'm a Peeposh and Kwikpon artist, and yeah, just really thankful to be on the show today.
As we get diving into a little bit of your musical history, some of your personal journey also is interwoven into this musicality of it all as well, and I feel like they're inextricably tied together, you know. Let's start, first things first, let's start with the name Iwa. It's my understanding that that is a Peeposh name as well. What does it mean?
That's correct. Yeah, it's actually the Peeposh word for heart. Iwa is the original pronunciation.
You settled on this name because why?
Well, I was performing under other names before, and they didn't necessarily feel broad enough to encapsulate all that I wanted to accomplish artistically, and so I kind of created a new medium to channel some of that creativity, and Iwa, really, the idea is to be generating music from the space of the heart, from that creative, honest, vulnerable space. And so, it just really felt suitable for that.
And as we get going in our conversation, it'll really become apparent exactly why I think you settled on that name as well. Before we get back into the listening, though, let's talk a little bit about your musical background. How did you get involved with performing and creating music?
Definitely. I think some of my first, and I think there's a little bit of weight on the word performance in this instance, but a lot of my first experiences doing music in front of other people was growing up in a church community, like in a faith-based community,
sure.
And performing praise music. And so it led me into some spaces where I began to see the off-ramp, if you will, to be able to create some of my own music and have some of my own say, and in part, even some of my own spirituality into music. So I think my first journey into songwriting, in a sense, that was more of a big deal. Like it became really real to me, was an internship that I did in 2017, working for a nonprofit called Erebon. And it was the Urban Doxology Songwriting Internship.
What is
that moment
exactly?
For me, it was really pivotal.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is a... this is a nonprofit that hosts this internship to bring songwriters from around the country together to live in communities, specifically a community that faces difficulties on the margin in regard to race and socioeconomic inequalities.
Sure.
And so I spent a few months, living in that community, and I guess as I learned more about life in that corner of the world, I began to write music from that place. And that's sort of what the internship is about, is just facilitating space for that to happen.
And as you were mentioning before I rudely cut you off, this experience was really pivotal in your musical journey too, yeah?
It absolutely was. I did not come into musical space with a ton of confidence prior to that experience. And I just remember being extremely built up during my time there. I think it was some of the first chance I had to really show what I was capable of, what my gifts are, what my skill sets are. And I just remember my boss, David, one of his last recommendations before I left that summer was for me to just buy a more professional guitar. Specifically, he was like, buy a Strat and start writing music.
Yeah.
And because he just saw so much potential in me as like a front man, as a leader of a band. And that affirmation really stuck with me, and I did what he said. I own a Strat now that I'm really happy with.
You can't go wrong there. It is a great guitar. We'll keep the gear chat for another discussion, but now let's hold off on this part of the journey. We'll come back and talk about life after Urban Doxology's songwriting internship and everything like that. But let's get back into the music right now. Let's see. What are you listening to? Who do we need to know about before our time is up?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, anytime I'm in the space and I get to pick an artist for people to listen to, I think people need to just be more aware of Olivia Komachi. Just an absolutely incredible guitarist, but also brilliant artist who just has an ear for later. They do a lot of live looping. So yeah, I know Olivia has some music, some recorded music out there in the world. I would love there to be a lot more, but sort of selfishly. I have to say, Olivia, that's somebody you need to know.
You got it, my friend. Olivia Comacheet is coming up before the end of this block. And looking ahead to the remainder of our show, we're also going to be hearing from the likes of Niska Napoleon, one from Tanya Tagok, and the Tongues remix album. But getting back into our listening right now, and specifically from Iwa, we're going to be listening to Boys Don't Cry from the 2021 Dysphoria EP. We'll be right back to chat some more. Turn it up and sing along. You're listening to Gyno.
They say boys don't cry. Guess I'm not a boy, am I? Guess I'm not a boy, am I? They say boys don't cry. Guess I'm not a boy, am I? Guess I'm not a boy, am I?
Hi, this is Mark Marilyn, and you're listening to Gyno.
Olivia Comachit's Miku, a track released in February of this year. Welcome back. You're listening to Gyno. If you're just now tuning in, I'm getting caught up with my friend Iwa. In the first block, we got caught up the meaning of the name Iwa. It's heart and peeposh. And we also got a little bit acquainted with the Urban Doxology songwriting internship, a moment in Iwa's life that was really pivotal in this musical transformation. And I want to pick up right there, Iwa. Let's talk specifically about life after this opportunity. You went home, you got the Strat, and you just started writing away. Is that how this went down?
Definitely. So I had a group of songs that I wrote, and they were just sort of living in my sort of like online cloud on my phone during the internship. You know, I was finishing up writing a collection of songs, and I think I just didn't have the confidence before that to really consider putting them out for myself. And so coming home with all of this, I guess, fresh eyes to see the gifting and some motivation to pursue it, I reached out to a friend of mine who was just getting into producing at the time. Lav Kai is his artist name, his producer name. And Lav Kai and I started working together, and it was the beginning of a really beautiful collaborative effort. At the time, I was going by the name Brother, and those songs were cool. I really wanted to explore some of the marriage between poetry and hip-hop. But ultimately, Iwa was born from that place, I'd say, because I sensed some of the limitation of doing specifically just hip-hop and poetry, and I wanted to venture further. And so I guess a good beginning of that timeline is the start of the pandemic, where I really just, you know, the world is on freeze. Everyone is up in the air about things. And I felt the freedom to say, hey, like, this could be anything. I could go anywhere from here.
Sure.
There's no blueprint for what the world looks like after this. So that's really the transformation from Brother to Iwa. And when we recorded the Dysphoria EP, was in the middle of the pandemic in 2020.
Iwa, you identify as Two-Spirit. And my question is Did you feel that recording as brother, it was limiting in that sense as well? Is that some of the skin that you had to shed moving forward?
Brett, this is an amazing question. I'm so thankful you asked me this. Yeah, that is absolutely where I was at that time. Brother was this really limiting space. And it was also this name that I had taken on as part of my family, sort of existing in this family unit as brother. And so there was this shedding of like, okay, this is what other people have labeled me as. This is some of what I've taken on. What about making art in a space where I'm more free, where I am not constrained to sort of this gendered experience, and I'm also not constrained by these labelings?
You know, this is what I was alluding to at the beginning of our conversation. This is the importance of our chat today. You know, and I don't want to get too sidetracked. I don't want to make it about me or anything, and I'll keep it as short as possible. I mentored a student at our high school for a couple of months, and this student is non-binary. And so, you know, naturally conversations come up with my young sons. And so, you know, it really, really helped me to sit with this question. Well, what does it mean, right? And I got to say, Iwa, and this was really kind of profound. This student ended up being one of my best teachers without even, I think, realizing it. You know, I'm vacuuming one day, and it suddenly dawned on me, for the longest time in my life, I had identity issues in regards to race specifically. You know, my mother is non-Indigenous. My father is about as full as I guess you can get. But, you know, because of politics and colonization and stupidity and things like that, you know, I don't fit into either camp nicely, you know. And in a country where that is kind of the norm, that's really frustrating for an individual. And, you know, when it kind of dawned on me, like, wow, I don't have to pick or choose this or that. I am simply somewhere in between. And I suddenly felt like I started to understand a little bit more of what it means to be non-binary, so to speak, you know. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes a ton of sense, Brett. And I'm just really thankful for your vulnerability in that. I think neatly is just really not a way that human beings can really exist. I don't know. Neatly, it's such a load of pressure to maintain.
Well, and these are the themes that you specifically address on Dysphoria, right?
And yeah, that's absolutely the headspace I was in for that.
I was wondering if you could expound on what listeners can expect when they listen to the EP.
Definitely. Well, I really wanted to make it concise in a way. The songs are not these long drawn out productions, you know, they're each just around 3 minutes long. And I think where that thought process originated from was Boys Don't Cry in its original version was this really lengthy, it was kind of a narrative moment where I was telling my whole story and it just didn't sit with me right. And I think I was just trying to tell the whole story in one song. And so the charge then for me was, well, why don't we make an EP that tells the story and you could take some of the pressure off of this Boys Don't Cry. So I think an artist at times just knows when they have something special. Sure. And I knew Boys Don't Cry had the makings to be something special and impactful. I put that intention and energy into it. And so taking the pressure off of Boys Don't Cry allowed it to be this kind of introduction on that EP to the dysphoric state, if you will. It's a really interesting idea of time that's juggled there, because Boys Don't Cry sort of reflects my current present mindset. But as you progress through the EP, it does sort of expose some of the mindset from within the dysphoric experience. Like while I was still struggling and still wrestling with identity and still breaking my way out of relationships that were unhealthy. So you hear the pitch modulation of the voice. And that kind of signifies some of those thought processes that were ultimately not very healthy, but that I was stuck in.
Oh, wow. I'm just blown away with your statement right there. And I think this is a good break point. Let's get back into the music right now. We can come back and wrap things up here in just a few. So you were kind enough to give me another recommendation. And this is actually an artist that we got to spend a little bit of time with, Ilani. And you are a huge fan, yeah? And you were letting me know she just had a milestone with her Heartbroken Bones album, right?
That's right. Just celebrated 1 year, to my understanding.
I love that indie pop sound. And I know Ilani's going to continue to do great things as well.
Yes.
In fact, you know, I got to get her on the show here in the near future, too. So we got
She'd love that.
Yeah. Honestly, from Heartbroken Bones coming up, also one from Melody MacArthur, but kicking things off right now is Iwa's 2022 single, Grand Prix. At this time, you're invited to turn it up. You're listening to Gyno.
My head is heavy and my heart is racing. Lights out and I'm chasing pavement. Red flags waving and I'm burning now. There's no winning when you're full of doubt. I am undone. You run me down. F1. I've used up my battery. Tired of running in your Grand Prix. Tired of running in your Grand Prix. I'm not the only one to make a pass at you. Hit the gas and the crash into the other drivers in a hot pursuit. Feel the flames on the last lap.